We've been studying and talking about Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor of God, and the description of that. We've taken several weeks and we've gone over each piece of the armor, including the sword of the Spirit last week, and how Paul, actually, the Holy Spirit, through Paul's words, inspires us, commands us. It's not a suggestion. He didn't say, hey, if you think about it, it might be a good idea. He says, do this. Put it on. Put on the full armor of God. We went through the different pieces of armor with the belt of truth. And how we talked about that a guy in armor puts on a belt, for one, to hold himself together, because a lot of this other stuff is attached to the belt. But the belt of truth, what does it mean? It's very symbolic when we take the truth and we wrap it around us. Therefore, we are standing inside the truth. We must be in the truth. The same is with the breastplate of righteousness. We need to be in God's righteousness. We don't have righteousness of our own. We cannot be righteous. But through Jesus Christ, we can be made righteous. We need to stand in His righteousness. Our feet need to be prepared with the gospel of peace. We need to be ready because we are at peace with God. The shield of faith. We need to protect our faith. We need to anoint our faith. We need to develop our faith, make it strong. Trust in our faith and use it to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. And then the helmet of salvation. We're to guard our mind with the helmet of salvation, trusting that in our salvation, not letting anything try to take that away. Not that it can be taken away, but sometimes in our mind, those thoughts come in and we begin to think, well, am I really this? Am I really that? Do I really need to do this? Do I have to do all of that? And those things that attack our mind, we need to protect ourselves with the helmet of salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to know what the Word of God says. Somebody, there we go. Somebody need to say amen on that. I'm going to say it again. We need to know what the Word of God says. Amen. Here we are. We need to know it. It's not just, this is not just something that we take to church on Sunday mornings in case the preacher wants to read from it. I can follow along. That's not what this is for. I'm going to start preaching last week's sermon all over again. The sword of the Spirit is a weapon. Amen. You better grab hold of it and you better put it to use. There's a war going on. Before we can understand the armor, we got to first understand that we're under attack, that there is a war going on, and I better be prepared. Today, I'm just going to kind of wrap up this series. Put on the full armor of God. If you'll read with me in the Ephesians chapter 6, just verse 13 today. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. After you've done everything, remain standing. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I thank you how it challenges us, how it encourages us, how it chastises us at times. But Father, thank you that you've given it. Father, help us to learn it, to know it, to believe in it, and to do what it says. To not be just hearers only, but to also be doers of the word. Father, because it's in the doing, Father, it's in the doing that people know that we've heard. Father, be with us now. Open up your word to us. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Speak to us, and may we be careful to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, he was writing it from a Roman jail, okay? He was staring at all these guards that were guarding him, and I bet he was just sitting there going, these guys are all armored up. And the Spirit just spoke to him, I think, and he began to use what he was seeing to convey to us how we need to be armored up. And the problem is that studies of the Roman army show that the downfall of the Roman Empire was due in part to the arrogance and apathy of the soldiers. Okay, now think about it. These soldiers, I mean, they're the baddest dudes on the planet. Okay, and if you're older, that means they were like more fearsome than anyone else. The younger ones caught baddest dudes. The older ones caught, they're more fearsome than anyone else. And they were the, like, they ruled, okay? That's why, hello, they were conquerors. But they were in armor, and they walked around. Well, the historians say that because of their arrogance, because of they just wore that, they began to wear their arrogance as an armor, their pride, and their apathy. Rome was the powerhouse back in the day. They conquered and they ruled by force, but eventually fell. And historians tell us it wasn't due to some massive overtaking. It wasn't due to some devastating war that they had and they just got beat. It was very subtle. You see, when they were busy conquering and fighting, they were all armored up all the time. I mean, they take in a town that they're conquered, and they walk in. They carry their arm. They're in their armor. They carry their shield, their sword. They go to sit down to eat. Guess what they've got with them? No, really, guess what they've got with them? All their stuff. They get up. They walk down the street. Guess what they're wearing? Guess what they're carrying? Yes. When they go to the bathroom, guess what they've taken with them? Okay, all of that stuff, everywhere they go, all the time. They slept. I don't know if they slept in it, but they sure had it right close at hand. That way, if something happened in the middle of the night, they're up and they're ready to go. Problem was that they began to be lazy. They began to be apathetic. They began to not see the necessity for that all the time. Really? I mean, they weren't conquering anymore. Everything had already been conquered. So what's the point? Why? Let's just get, I don't need it anymore. I've conquered, and it's kind of cumbersome. It restricts my freedom a little bit. It's heavy. And I don't really need it. I'm just going to kind of walk around without some armor for a while. And that's what happened. They began to get lazy. They started to think it was not important. They started to get sloppy with their armor. Matter of fact, even their leadership didn't even correct them because they thought, eh, well, it's not that big a deal. Ooh. Their leadership began to not even correct their behavior because they said, well, it's not that big a deal. It's not that important. We've already won. What's the point in continuing to stay armored up? Well, that'll preach right there. Next thing you know, they're overtaken by the enemy. That whole picture, y'all, is a picture of many believers right now. That whole picture is a picture of many believers who have thought, well, I've already got the victory. Jesus said I can never be taken from him, and so nothing can take me out of his grasp. I've already got my salvation ticket. It's punched, and I've got it in my wallet. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm not going to lose that. But this other stuff, it's not even no longer necessary. I don't really need it anymore. I don't need to have my faith. I don't need to be prepared with the gospel. I don't need to be at peace with God. I don't really need to stand inside the truth. I don't need to be in God's righteousness. I don't need to protect my mind. And, you know, I certainly don't need to use a sword anymore. Hello, we've already conquered everything. So I'll just leave all that there. That's the picture of many believers who are walking around right now. Not that big a deal. We've gotten used to walking around without our armor on. Maybe even we forgot where the armor was. Maybe we forgot where we've left it, where we've hung it up. We certainly forgot how to use it. I'm getting a lot of blank stares right now. Either you're sleepy or maybe I need to bring it a little closer to us. Let me try this. Instead of being bold and standing for the truth, recognizing the lies of the enemy and attacking them with the sword of the Spirit, we fall back. We don't speak the biblical truth about controversial topics such as homosexuality, adultery. We say things like, I'm not really committing adultery, I'm just looking at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. That's not adultery. That's just, I mean, I'm not, you know, we begin to rationalize. We begin to do other things. Here's something else. We say this: I don't approve of what the government is doing with my money. Therefore, I'm going to be a little bit dishonest on my taxes because I can, in order to uphold my Christian values. So I'm going to withhold this money because I don't approve what the government's doing. I'm gonna, because it goes against my Christian values, so I'm going to withhold it. I'm going to go on a nice vacation with it, but you know, or I'm going to buy some fishing gear with it, or I'm going to get a new hunting rifle, or pay for my kids' college. We begin the lines begin to get blurred. We say things like, well, if my wife or my husband would treat me better, if they would love me more, then I would really care a little bit more about them. But as it stands, I'm just not getting what I deserve. We hear things like, who am I to tell you what's right for you? Your truth might be different than my truth. And I don't really want to offend anybody. Or we hear things like this, surely God wouldn't send people to hell because he's a God of love. Which leads to, I really don't need to pay attention to my actions. They don't really matter because it's in my heart. It's what's in my heart that counts. Doesn't matter what I do, it's what I believe. Oh, man. We've forgotten to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've forgotten what Proverbs 23, verse 7 says. For as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We cannot believe the lie that says, I don't have to match my actions up with my beliefs. It's a lie from straight from hell. It's got the smell of sulfur all over it, y'all. That's that part of that protecting our mind. We've gotten this mindset in the church today. I'm not talking just about Dolan Baptist Church, but I'm certainly speaking about Dolan Baptist Church in part of this. We've gotten this mindset that says, I believe this, and I've got everything in order and in line, so now my actions don't really matter. That's wrong. And if I don't stand here and tell you it's wrong, then I'm wrong. I don't want to be wrong. We've gotten sloppy with our armor. How do we not get sloppy? I think first we need to pray. We need to pray through it every day. When you get up in the morning, before you leave the house, what do? You get up. I mean, how many of you walk out of the house to go to work or to the store or to wherever in your pajamas every day? What do? You get dressed. Why do you get dressed? To be presentable? Sure. Because it's the right thing to do, because we need to. I mean, we talked about a few weeks ago, if it was cold, you put on a jacket. If it's hot, you maybe leave some layers off or whatever, but you dress appropriately. If we're leaving the house, headed into the battlefield, and to be honest with you, the battlefield is in the house too. When you get up in the morning, you get dressed. When you get up in the morning, you better put on that armor. That's what those soldiers did. When they got up, if they did not sleep in it, they got up, that's the first thing they grabbed, they put it back on until they started getting lazy. Folks, we've gotten lazy. We need to get in the habit of getting back in the armor, getting back in the truth, getting back in God's righteousness, getting back with the readiness, being at peace with God, getting back in the mode of protecting our mind, using our faith. The second thing is we've got to commit. That's a word that we're afraid of these days. Commitment. Commitment. How many ways can you define commitment? How many ways can you use commitment? There's a bunch. I know of two people yesterday that committed their lives to one another. Actually, four people, two couples. Rebecca was at a wedding yesterday, and I know that Donna and many of you were at a different wedding yesterday. These people, they committed their lives to each other. They made a commitment. They got married. There are commitments that we make. All the time. Sometimes commitments are broken and things no longer stand. They fall. I don't know how that happened. But we're afraid of that. Folks, we've got to commit. We've got to commit that every day I'm going to get up. I'm going to physically, not just in mind, but physically put on this armor, physically mount up with the pieces of armor, grab the sword of the Spirit, become familiar with it. We've got to physically do this every day and make a commitment to do it. It's not going to happen if you don't make a commitment. If I'm not committed to get up and go to work every day, guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to go to work every day. I'm going to find other things to do. I'm going to commit myself to other things. I might commit myself to fishing, or I might commit myself to watching the TV or something else. But I'm changing commitments. Folks, we got to be committed to the right things. The third thing is we've got to remember how vital the armor is to our success. How many of us would dare thinking about going into battle today with the modern warfare? How many of us would think about going into battle where everybody around us is carrying their M16s, and they've got their Kevlar helmets on and their body armor and all the stuff that they carry? How many of us would dare think about going into battle with swimsuits and flip-flops? We would not do that, because we know the armor is important. We've got to understand that the armor is vital to our success. Being a Christian is not easy. It's hard work. If you believe otherwise, then somebody has lied to you, and I'm so sorry for that. I'm so sorry that somebody may have told you, all you have to do is just, here's some words, and you can just read these words and say them as a prayer, and everything's all good and great. You gave your life to Jesus, and now everything's all hunky-dory. You don't have to worry about anything else ever again. That's not the truth. It's not the truth. And there's nothing magic about saying words either, unless it comes from the heart. And that's one thing that I believe we've got to address. Maybe someone said to you, all you have to do is just believe Jesus, and it'll all be good. Maybe that's why we're frustrated. Maybe you did what they said, but life just ain't getting any easier. Maybe you're walking around going, well, you know what? This person said that if I did this and I did that, and I got baptized and I did this other stuff, and now I'm a member of the church, and I'm still having troubles. I'm frustrated. I don't understand it. I don't like it. Didn't work for me. I want you to hear something. It's not about doing. It's not about doing. It's all about being. It's not about doing truth. It's about being in the truth. It's about being in the righteousness of God. It's about being at peace with God. It's about being in the faith. It's about experiencing and being in God's salvation. It's about being in the Word of God. It's about being a person of prayer. If you're a Christian, you need to know that the Bible tells us that true followers of Christ will be changed. They'll be changed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I would submit to you today that if you've not been changed, if you're not in the process of being renewed, changed by the renewing of your mind, then maybe you just went through some actions. Maybe you're just doing some doing and not being. And I would challenge you today, set that straight. If you're considering becoming a Christian, I'll tell you, the benefits are out of this world. But you need to hear something. You need to consider the cost. You need to consider the cost. I'm not trying to talk you out of following Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm certainly not doing that. But I am telling you that Scripture tells us that saying you're a Christian and then continuing to live a life that does not honor God reflects the level of commitment that you've made. And it's your commitment that matters to God. You must decide to suit up every day. What are you wearing? I love it how Paul closes this letter to the Philippians. He says, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Undying love. It's time that we get honest with God. And I'm not speaking to people that don't know Jesus. I'm talking about people that know of Jesus. I'm talking about people that have heard of him. I'm talking about people that may have even been tight with him at one point. I'm talking to every one of us, because every one of us are sinners. It's time we get honest with God. He already knows. He already knows it. He knows our mistakes, our failures, our weaknesses. But we need to own up to that. We need to fess up to that. Because we need to clear ourselves. We need to admit our failures. We need to get right with God. What's he telling you today? And what is your response back to him? God is calling you to be more than a regular person who says some magic words and gets wet. God has called you to put on the full armor of God and to be a warrior. Where are you today? God needs warriors. I'm not so much sure that God needs warriors as that we need to be warriors for God. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. He wants you. Oh, he wants you so bad. He wants you so bad that he's given you everything you need to be successful. And Paul says, put it on. All of it. Put on the full armor of God. Some of us today need to put on salvation. Some of us don't have salvation. Some of us think we've got salvation. Some of us have been told we've got salvation, but our lives don't match up with that. Guess what? There's an old phrase that says, the proof is in the pudding. And if you're walking around telling people, yes, I'm a Christian, and you're living a life that matches up completely not with being a Christian, guess what I'm going to believe? What's most important? What is God going to believe? The Bible tells us that so many people are deceived that on the last day, many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say, depart from me, because I never knew you. We didn't have a relationship. It was just words to you. Oh, my friends. Some of you need to get saved. Some of you need to receive salvation, receive the forgiveness that only Christ can offer. Some of us need to clean up. Some of us need to recognize that we've gotten sloppy with our armor. Some of us need to recognize we're not been getting dressed in the morning. We've just gotten lazy. We're going through life half naked. All of us need to get honest with God. All of us need to get honest with God. And somebody needs to make a commitment today. Is that you? Is that you? This is your time to respond to what the Holy Spirit has been telling you all morning long. Maybe he's been speaking to you all week long. Maybe you didn't understand it, and this morning the Spirit has revealed it to you and he's called you and said, that's what I'm telling you you need to be doing. Friend, don't walk out of here the same way you walked in. Walk out of here changed for all of eternity. Walk out of here changed for today and tomorrow and the next day, and make it a daily event in your life. We're going to stand, we're going to sing a song, a hymn of invitation. This is your time to respond, to make that commitment to Christ. Will you do it? Is Christ important enough in your life that you're willing to commit to him? I've been toying with the idea, I've been wondering. If right now, if our decisions to follow Christ, if all of those, and this would never happen, y'all, but I'm saying, if all of that was negated for some reason, and we had to decide today, regardless of what I did in the past, today, am I still committed to being a follower of Christ, would we still commit? Knowing what it takes, knowing what Christ expects of me as a believer, will I commit today as if I've never done it before? What is your response? What is your response? It's time for us to stop being sloppy. It's time for us to stop being apathetic. It's time for us to stop not worrying about making our beliefs match up with our actions. Will you commit today? Stand up. We're going to sing a song. This is your time. The altars are open. I'll be here in the front. It's not about me. It's about you doing business with your holy God. And are you willing to do that today as we sing?